This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, everyone. How are we?
I'm good, finally.
Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning.
Glad to hear you're well.
Yeah, yeah. That was a fun little thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're back in the studio live.
All of us together.
All of us.
Los cuatro amigos.
Let's see. 4th of July weekend already. Hard to believe that that's come around as quickly as it has. And because of that, there's no classes in either of the stores today. Both stores are dark as far as classes are concerned. And both stores are going to be closed on Monday in observance of the holiday. So if you want to do some stuff in your yard, I would get in before Monday.
Yeah.
Then you can have Monday today or tomorrow? Today or tomorrow. Then you can have Monday to work on it at your leisure. Let's see.
And it is supposed to be cooler this weekend to encourage you to get out and do those things during your leisure time.
It's cooling off a little bit.
It's been pretty warm though.
It's been hot. I mean, yeah. We had two nights this week. We had to run the air conditioner upstairs to get it cooled off enough to the point where you could actually get to sleep without sweating to death.
Exactly.
I did not, but I guess this cooling off that I'm discussing here or mentioning is kind of like gas dropping from $5.99 to $5.79, and all of a sudden it's bonus score. It's only $5.80 this week.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is true. Some of the classes that we do have coming up, though, on the 9th in San Diego, it's going to be Help Your Plumeria Thrive, is it Mike Atkinson?
Mike Atkinson. Now, he just did one at the Poway store a couple weeks ago, and that was by far, at least in the time I've been with the nursery, the most crowded we've ever had it.
Yeah, that's
it
what
it was packed.
That's what I heard. So if you're interested in going to Mike's class on the 9th in San Diego, that's going to be at 9 o'clock. I would get there early to get a place to sit and a parking space, because it could be very crowded.
Last week I was driving over to my parents' house, and I drove past their driveway, and there were four people in the driveway of the Atkinson home. So I drove down and I said hi, and none of those four people were
interested in you?
Atkinsons that had been at the nursery had any idea who this stranger was that was in their driveway waving to them. I explained, but okay, thanks.
Thanks for stopping
by. I'll continue on up the hill now.
In Poway on the 9th, it's going to be Tropical Fruit Tree Care.
Mike from the zoo.
Oh, Mike Letzring.
We can't say Mike from the zoo.
No. Mike
Letzring.
Mike from his own tropical garden world.
Who gets a lot of experience elsewhere.
Elsewhere.
Gotcha. Yeah. So that's going to be at 9:30 on the 9th in Poway. On the 16th in San Diego, it's going to be Felco Tools with Jennifer Thompson from Felco. We have advocated for a long time that Felco is arguably the best cutting tools that you can get.
The best of the best.
For landscaping and gardening. And I know I'm a huge advocate of them. I absolutely love them. And we always keep our eyes out trying to find something as good or better. And we did find some shears that looked identical to them. And apparently even some of the parts were interchangeable.
And they weighed about the same. Everything about it was very similar.
Everything about them was similar. except the quality. So they were not any, they were not anywhere near as good a quality.
And
as
I think the, that you were doing the search because Philco's, while they're quality, they're expensive. And
they are
so
expensive.
We're trying to find something that would, you know, with a lower price point, but it's hard to find.
Yeah,
with
but
that
what
quality.
But what I tell people is, if you buy a pair of Philco shears, is if you don't lose them,
right,
you'll never buy another pair of shears.
Correct. Because all replaceable.
Everything
right.
is replaceable.
You have to emphasize that part about not losing them. I left them on top of my car once and drove away.
Well, that'll
and
happen.
Never found them again.
Oh my gosh. I got a free pair off the side of the street one day.
What a coincidence.
Thank you, George.
And then on the 16th in Poway, it's going to be Firewise Planning with Greg Rubin from
California's own native landscape.
Yeah. So probably a good idea to take a look, especially if you live out around the Poway store or in some of the other more rural areas.
Just about anywhere else in the county at this point.
And get some ideas on what you can do to... what you could do to help reduce the risk of fire damage and from your landscaping.
Right. Now, he was highly recommended from the San Diego Fire Council. That's how I got his name.
Okay. Although I know after the Cedar Fire, I called a friend of mine who owned a nursery up in Santa Elena, up in Napa Valley, and he was the chief of the fire department up there, and he came down with one of his crews to help fight the Cedar Fire. And so after it was all over, I called him up and I asked him, I said, what can people do to, as far as landscaping or whatever, to help reduce the risk of losing their house in a fire like that? And he said, you know what you do in the case of a fire like that? He said, you get the hell out of there. Because he said, there's nothing you can do in a fire like the Cedar Fire or the Witch Creek Fire, if it's burning like that, he said, you need to get out. He said, there's nothing you can do. If it's going to burn, it's going
to
burn.
I guess we don't need Greg Rubin to come out.
Okay. So maybe we'll look for a different class on that. Were you just calling it audible? Another class on that day?
Yeah. No, it's
when it's blowing like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's dry like that and there's a fire.
Yeah.
No one's going to stop it.
No, but there are certainly things you can do to mitigate the problem, and that's always well worth looking at.
Okay, I'll keep the class going.
Please have Greg come in. Did you have something? I thought you were going to say something.
No.
Okay. Let's see. And then the
I was going to say please have Greg come in. I mean, but George said it, so I didn't need to.
No, I said it.
Yeah,
I think we both did simultaneously.
Okay. I thought it
at
first.
The same time.
Okay. let's see. The San Diego Botanical Garden Foundation. This weekend is the Dahlia Society show and sale. And if you have never been to a Dahlia show before, they are amazing. Everything from the little golf ball pom-pom dahlias up to the gigantic dinner plate dahlias that are 12 to 14 inches across. They are absolutely stunning flowers. So if you're up and around Balboa Park, I would highly recommend stopping in and taking a look at it because they really are amazing.
Do you remember the yellow and red one I was trying to describe 2 weeks ago to you guys that I'd gotten? And I think you guys were kind of mocking me, as we would normally do here.
I don't think I was here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
it might have just been me.
I apologize, Mr. Anderson, for dragging you into this.
He would have mocked you if he were here.
He would have. But a customer came in who had been listening, and when she saw that, she said, "That's exactly as you described it." And I stood a little bit taller to that moment because I was having troubles because it was yellow and red, and I said it was kind of a pepperminty coloration because peppermint is white and red, but this was yellow and red in that same.
Yeah, I don't get the connection there.
I'm doing it. The variation of the red and the white in peppermint, this was red and yellow in a pepperminty fashion. That same. Okay.
You had to be there.
So anyway, she said it was exactly as I described it. That was the important takeaway from.
That you were right.
Yeah, I was right.
Thank you.
Hey, speaking of Balboa Park, Capri and I walked through the Rose Garden three days ago at the Inez Grant Parker Rose Garden?
Yeah.
Memorial Rose Garden. Phenomenal. It's like they've had this second or perhaps third. It is gorgeous right now.
Really?
Yep. Very pretty.
Did you take it? Pick any?
I didn't pick any. No, okay. We took some pictures, which is what you should do. Take pictures, right. Not roses.
Gotcha. Is that a
Chamber of Commerce note?
Thank you. Somebody is going to be doing a presentation on the succulent garden that is next door and adjacent to that. It has some historical significance to it. Was a.
That's funny. When I
Kate Sessions designed apparently that.
As you come over,
succulent
when you come over the bridge, you walk through a section of it. Yes.
So if you have any information, Dean Karras is going to be doing a presentation to somebody and wanted to know if you had any, or the family, your dad has any knowledge of that he could share.
Not that I've ever heard, because the only succulent garden that I can think of is the cactus garden that's behind the Balboa Park Club.
No, when you come over the bridge from the Reuben H. Fleet area, you come up over that bridge into the Rose Garden on your right, there's a huge section of euphorbias and such and agaves on your right at the base of the bridge. And then on your left, there's a big succulent garden.
It stretches from the Rose Garden down towards whatever the road is that drops down into Florida Canyon. It's kind of in that gap there where the pedestrian bridge goes across.
It's funny. Every time Capri and I walk across, neither one of us are big succulent and cactus folks. And there are some people taking pictures there the other day with these cactus behind them or euphorbias. And all I remember telling Capri, there's a beautiful rose garden over there. Why are you taking pictures with your wife or husband with these big, anyway.
Yeah. Are there still some big coral trees in that same area around there?
There may be. I honestly didn't notice them. I was mocking people taking pictures of succulents.
So you weren't going beyond that.
I'm
going
to have to go and take a look at that because I've been to the Rose Garden. As a matter of fact, we wrote an article for the newsletter a couple of years ago about the Rose Garden, and I don't remember the.
I would suggest that because you are not a big succulent cactus guy, you probably just you walked right over and ignored it while you were looking at the roses.
I obviously did, but yeah, I'll have to go and take a look at that, and I'll have to check out the one behind the Balboa Park Club too. Because the one behind the Balboa Park Club has been there for, I think since the 1935 fair, somewhere around there. So we'll have to take a look at that. Let's see. Then the 15th, 16th, and 17th, the Carnivorous Plant Society is having their show and sale. That should be a pretty interesting show, I would have to think, that they're going to have some interesting stuff to take a look at and probably some interesting stuff to buy as well. And then towards the end of the month, or actually at the end of the month, the 29th, 30th, and 31st, the San Diego County Orchid Society is having their summer show and sale, and that should be pretty spectacular as well. Not as big as the March show, but it's going to be a lot of stuff that's not in bloom
in March.
For the March show, so you can get a chance to see some really interesting stuff going on.
I think that's something we need to work on is to find a scholarly individual with regard to carnivorous plants to have a couple classes, because that's something we haven't had.
I would just get a hold of the Carnivorous Plant Society. I'm sure they've got somebody that could.
I know that person.
Do you?
I do. Okay. I just don't know if he has time to come and do a presentation, but I know that person.
Well, in that case, so do I, and I don't know if he has time to do that. Hence we need to find somebody.
Therefore.
Therefore.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you'd like to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number.
you know, speaking of gardens,
mm-hmm.
when Capri and I were planning this wedding, we wanted something that was very simple, very private. And a good friend of ours, Mary, was generous, kind, and she is a blessing, offered her backyard, which is a garden.
It's pretty nice.
Spectacular. And she went overboard to make it extra pretty, which didn't really need to be done, but it was gorgeous. And we had a very nice, very simple wedding and took a few days off. And then we're going to be going to Hawaii here at some point.
Congrats.
Congratulations, George.
We had a really good cook there, too. We had a very private dinner. It was wonderful.
I hear the service was amazing.
It was some of the best service ever.
Now, did you notice a tillandsia tree in the yard?
I took pictures of it to learn because, you know, I'm trying to learn some of the other plants. It looked almost citrus-esque, if that's a word, and it looked like a citrus tree, but there were tillandsias and bromeliads hanging from it. It was weird.
She may have spent many hours selecting it and putting those into the trees.
It was gorgeous. It was really beautiful. Yeah, it was different, and it's something I probably wouldn't have done with the tillandsias, but I would do it. It looks great. I have some Spanish moss hanging from my pecan tree, but the rest of them just look great in there.
I didn't see that when we were there. Where is that at?
Well, there was, when you were there, it was an orange tree that had a lot of dead branches towards the tips. It had died back.
Is this in the lower garden?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
And it was just after you go down the stairs beyond the avocado, it was in a little sunken, it was in a recess in the ground. And probably 25% to 50% of the tree was gone. There was leaves below, but all the branches were naked
exposed.
Up top. Exposed. Yes. And so she tied in some Spanish moss and lots of different tillandsias so it would look like a tillandsia tree.
It was gorgeous.
And it's funny now that you mention that, because years ago when we were going up to Valley Center to visit Pukaki Gardens, there were dead citrus trees on the side of the road, and we tried to go back up with a lift gate to pick up a dead trunk to bring it back so that we could put tillandsias on it. But it was too heavy and we didn't do it. But they make, because the citrus wood is hard and it persists even after it's dead. Mm-hmm. So it makes a good structure.
Oh, yeah. And it looked great. And what's interesting, too, is we had gone to several other locations to do photography afterwards.
Yes.
And we didn't need them at all. Everything was done right there.
Yeah. It ruined all of the clandestine plans that have been put into place with
being
off the property.
Yeah, it worked well.
Okay, good.
So thank you, Mary.
All right. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go up to Vista where Fran is waiting. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Good morning. Fine, guys. I wanted to comment on last week's bonsai class with Richard Wright. And I had missed two other classes that he had taught years ago, and when George told me you were going to have it on the 25th, I said, I'm signed up, and it was just fantastic.
Oh, good.
Richard is a hoot and a half, and he would not tell us how to prune our bonsai plant, which would whatever we chose, and I did a pomegranate, and you take it from a big bushy thing and bring it down to what you feel is right, and so I had mine where it was cascading over the sides, and took it home as instructed and put it in a basin of water and let it soak up overnight, and came to pick it up. And I thought I was going to have two neighbors pick it up for me. It got so heavy. But it was a wonderful class. He's a great instructor. And I know you're going to have one in November, but you're keeping it a secret. And so I can't wait to hear about that. And as soon as you tell me the date, I'll put that on my calendar too.
Well, we will let you know. But thank you very much for the feedback. I'm glad you enjoyed the class.
Yes, it was well worth waiting and making sure that I got into this one. And once George told me the date, I put it on my planner, and that's it. Nobody else is going to take that day from me. So I was really happy.
Well, good. Good.
So enjoy this holiday weekend and listen to you and continue.
All
thank
right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much, Fran. You have a great holiday as well.
You too. Bye.
Okay. Goodbye.
You know, a couple of the folks in that class were asking, you know, Richard, where should I cut this? And I was standing by and I said, you know what? He can't tell you that because it's
a secret.
It's an art, and it's really what's your vision for this shrub? How do you this shrubbery? How do you want it to look? What do you, what's your vision? You know, and so Richard's like, exactly, that's what we're going to do. We're going to let you make this the way you want it. And I think a lot of people had a really good time with that.
I don't remember much of the class because I wasn't there for most of it. I was out wandering around. But I do remember hearing him in a Richard-esque manner say that. I can't tell you where to cut it because this is yours. I remember hearing him say that. It's the only thing I can tell you I remember hearing him say at the class.
We kept it to a rather small set of people so that, A, he can give attention to people, but, B, because of COVID, so we could spread the tables out a little bit. So next time maybe we can bring in more
people. Bring in a few more people.
Right.
Well, it was – people were pretty excited about their plants when it came time for them.
Yeah, it went well.
We're looking back kind of at you, but we could talk about that a little more if you'd like.
Yeah, talk about...
Talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst yourselves.
We'll break into a small group and discuss.
Yeah, and we'll
I know
come
that's
back
been
with our
said
PowerPoint.
In the studio before. One of the plants that they had there was the dwarf pomegranate.
Correct, the nana.
And...
Punica nana.
Every time after radio and I drop Mark off...
Yes.
I admonish him for not reminding me to talk about his neighbor's dwarf pomegranates that are in the parkway right next door to him. Because they are gorgeous. They look like they must be 40 or 50. Yeah, well,
they,
probably
they're
20
old.
Or, yeah. They're about 3 feet tall, and they're beautiful little blooming trees.
Right.
And so today, later this morning, I do not have to admonish Mark about it because so now I've been reminded and we're talking about it.
But not by Mark. So you still can't admonish to some degree.
No, because the conversation has taken place. But they're the nicest, biggest ones I've seen, and they're trained up into little trees. They've been essentially bonsaied in this parkway for the last 20 years, and I'd forgotten how nice of an ornamental they make in addition to bonsai.
Now, don't we have a couple in the train? We have some,
yes.
some in there, but they don't flower as much. I think it's too shady.
It's too shady in there, and in Sara Mesa, they're out in the full sun. They have concrete on one side and asphalt on the other, so they get a lot of sun, and they
beautiful.
Look fantastic.
They're gorgeous, yeah.
And somebody was asking, there was a customer in the store a couple of days ago that wanted to know if they fruit. And yes,
and
they
yes,
do.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
But it's not any good to eat. Right. You can eat it. David's done it before. He's snuck across the median at Cuyamaca College and harvested fruit off of theirs.
In the interest of science and horticulture.
Yes, like yes, to expand upon my knowledge base. And... They're edible. They're just not good.
Yeah. What are you talking about? I wasn't paying any attention.
A dwarf pomegranate. Today, the part of David will be played by Ken. The dwarf pomegranates.
Punica
nana.
That's a neat plant.
It really is. And in the right situation, it makes a beautiful little tree in our railway.
It looks
railway.
Great in the railway. Right. It's a great bonsai plant. And
they bloom like crazy.
And they bloom like crazy, and they make a great ornamental. It would be a nice little parkway tree. The roots aren't going to damage anything, and they look really good.
It's true.
So now we've talked about them. I won't holler at you anymore.
They should be pretty low water use too. Once established.
Yeah. Except as a bonsai, when anything in a container.
True.
Yes.
Well, no. Okay, in a container because these are bonsai.
Right. I said in a container. I had to modify before you said words have meaning.
Yeah. Thank you. Did you find something?
Well, I was going to say, this is the last weekend of the fair.
So yes, it is.
So if you have not gotten out there to check everything out, you still have until Monday to do so. And Tuesday we will be tearing everything apart. And
Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday or Wednesday.
I'm waiting for my instructions. Tear down instructions.
Tear down instructions.
But it is 2 weeks between the end of the fair this year and horse racing
in the
season.
Racetrack, though.
So they're not as panicked about getting us out
as they opening, have been in the past. Opening day is the 22nd.
Right.
Racing starts on the 22nd. So
it was suggested we might want to wait a day or two and let all
the big stuff,
the jacuzzis and all the things from inside the building get out before we try and get in there. But I'd be afraid that some of the surrounding peoples might walk off with our beautiful our beautiful ferns
and the
dinosaurs
and the flowers.
Well, the flowers
might be a little difficult to pull out.
Yes.
We did pretty well though. We got the Paul Ecke Jr. Award, which is the
best overall horticultural display.
The best of show.
That's what happens when you spend weeks and weeks and weeks drawing planning. Out and schematics and drawing and prints and PowerPoints to come up with the design.
And we got the group and the committee.
And the committee.
We got the Coordinator's Award, and we got an award from...
Cuyamaca.
From Cuyamaca College as well.
That's because they didn't know I had stolen pomegranates off of the dwarf pomegranates from the park.
Yeah, they're gonna come, they're
next
gonna,
year, that's gone.
They're going to come and pull that now, I'm sure.
And something to reiterate, Ken, is that we've been doing that. We've been displaying since the fair. I mean, every time there's been a fair, we've been there
since our inception, I think 1937 was the first year that it was in Balboa, or in Del Mar. Yeah. And we have been to every flower show that they have had where they have had a fair. Right. They did not run the fair from 42 to 45 because of the war, and then then there were the 2 years of
COVID
that they didn't. Well, there was no fair 1 year, and then they had the abbreviated fair last year, but they didn't do the flower show last year.
Right.
Yeah. So, our streak has not ended yet.
Not on my watch.
Yeah. Although we did discuss it.
We did. But
I'm glad that A, we maintained the streak, and two, that I got to be part of it, because that was a lot of fun.
It's
building that. We had a lot of fun.
It can be.
Yeah.
You enjoyed watching me flop in and out of the display after day one?
I enjoyed the whole experience.
You know, the funny part about this in my mind is they insisted upon a design beforehand,
which we've never done before,
and I assured them I would get them a design,
and we did.
Well, not until it was done.
I know, that's what I'm saying. When it was done,
but they didn't pull our registration, so it worked out okay. But that's the way I like to design.
Right,
bring me the plants and let's put them around. We'll figure out what we want.
It was brainstorming, and then
arrange it.
Yeah.
And the committee was small enough that it worked out okay.
That's right.
We added two or three more people, it might have been different.
Exactly.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We've got a lot of milkweed at the nursery right now. We've been going through quite a bit of it. Not like we did, was it
two years ago?
It's 2020, I guess, was when we had the huge run on it and we could not keep it in stock.
I would have to look, but that partially was due to supply issues, not...
In 2020?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We couldn't get enough.
Yeah. It was total supply and demand issue.
We might be selling close to the same amount now as we did then.
It's just that we have
access to it. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. It was interesting. I got a note from Matthew from San Marcos. And apparently up in Ventura, they have labeled tropical milkweed as a
weed.
Yeah. So you can't grow it up in Ventura County anymore.
We're going to create an underground market in Asclepias. Yes. A different weed.
Although, you know, I've mentioned it on the show before, that if you go to the Texas Butterfly Ranch website, they have a lot of articles about monarchs there, and one of the articles came out in I think it was last year. I think it was March of 2021, where they said that the whole thing about the tropical milkweed is blown way out of proportion. And it was, and this wasn't just somebody writing in it.
Right.
This was an entomologist that has studied.
Yeah, it wasn't
studied
a garden
him.
Blog.
Yeah, right. it wasn't just some blogger. I mean, he made a very compelling argument about it. And the one thing that I remember sticking out in the article and said that if the border was a couple hundred miles farther south, it'd be a native milkweed. So it's, you know, the whole native thing is,
yeah.
It's somewhat subjective.
Maybe we could start an organization called Butterflies Without Borders.
I think the takeaway on the tropical milkweed is to keep the protozoa that can,
yeah, the disease the, OE
the, oh, the, oh, yeah, the yeah. OE disease under control. Part of the reason why that builds up is that they don't. The tropical typically doesn't go dormant.
It doesn't die back.
So we just cut it back.
Yeah, all the literature says to cut it back by Thanksgiving, and then you reduce it significantly.
Yeah, and then everything's fine.
Or we could just ban it.
Yeah, I don't think we should do that.
Okay. No, I agree.
Actually, and it's much, my opinion, I think it's much prettier than the native as far as the flowers.
The native one doesn't flower nearly as much.
No, but they're neat little purpley white flowers when they do bloom, mm-hmm. but they don't. They're just not vibrant like the tropical.
I don't think it grows as fast either. The native.
Well, and the native has smaller leaves.
They're like narrow leaf.
Narrow
leaf.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they call it narrow leaf.
Maybe that's why they.
That
do.
Might have something.
However, when Sue Krause from Moosa Creek pronounces the native milkweed, it sounds much better when she says in her. Her accent, Asclepias fascicularis, sounds much better than tropical milkweed. So there is that.
So you got that going for
yes.
you.
Yes. I don't know. Okay. Just sorry.
All right. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go up to Claremont where Maurice is waiting. Good morning, Maurice. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so fine. Thank you. I have a rabbit foot fern that's very old. It's like over 20 years old, and it's been in the same pot, poor thing. It's about a 2-foot shallow pot that has a smaller opening, and I really want to repot it without destroying it, but I don't know how to go about doing it. I was hoping you guys could give me some pointers.
Without destroying the pot or without destroying the fern, or both?
Well, yeah, I'm willing to destroy the pot, although I would prefer not to, but if I have to, I have to, but I don't want to destroy the plant.
Okay, well, they're actually very easy and durable. So they are easy to transplant because they are durable. And I have been dividing at the nursery in Poway and repotting some different types of rabbit's foot ferns, the Fijiensis and some other ones like that. And all you have to do is get it out of the pot, and it will tolerate almost whatever you take from it or give to it because the rhizomes, their feet, hold a ton of energy. And so just getting a little bit of that soil with the rhizomes, does the pot constrict at the top? Does it get narrower at the top, the pot that it's in?
Yes, it is.
Well, you're either going to have to cut it into a few different pieces to get it out of the pot, which isn't going to hurt it, and you could
have multiple
divide
plants.
It and have multiple yeah. plants, or you're going to have to break it out of the pot.
Yeah, that's what I was sort of thinking. So, do I want to, like, water it really well before I remove it?
You know, I like to have them a little bit on the drier side to manipulate them and get them out. So I don't think it would be a big difference either way, but I like to work with them when they're on the drier side.
Okay, and that's what I'll do. And I can just go ahead and take, like, a hand saw and just cut it up into, like, maybe 3 pieces?
Yes, absolutely. And you might damage and lose a little bit where you cut it, but now you're going to have 3 or 4 or however many plants to start or to share. Sounds like it's kind of a family heirloom. There might be other people that would enjoy a piece of it.
Yeah, it's probably true. Yeah, okay. Well, thank you so much. I do have one other question, if you don't mind.
Certainly, go ahead.
Okay, I also have a variegated philodendron the small kind, you know, the vine. And I have it on
small pot with a, it's got a metal cage over it that it's been running over. So the length of it is probably 15, 20 feet, although it's twined around the metal. And I've been afraid to try to repot that too, because I don't know what it's going to do to the foliage. If I just put like a pillowcase or something over the foliage to repot it, do you think that'll work?
Yeah, I think you can suspend the plant in like a sling, maybe the pillowcase or something, to hold the plant into place while you take the pot off on the other end and repot it while it is suspended there. I think, yes, you could easily do that.
Okay. Okay. Those were my two concerns. I've been putting off repotting these poor things because I'm kind of afraid of messing with them, but you guys have given me some confidence. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. If you have any other questions, don't hesitate to get in touch with us, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
See, I might have enjoyed just putting some safety goggles on and a hammer and opening up that pot.
Yeah, that
and then and then
fun.
Slicing it in half or quarters.
I didn't want to destroy it, but I had to.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to move up north to Oceanside where Betty is waiting. Good morning, Betty. How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. I was down to my neighbor's house and looking at his tomatoes. We went over and got a six-pack about a month and a half ago. Beautiful-looking plants. And when I went down yesterday, they looked spindly. They didn't have a lot of leaves on them. He pulled one up, and it was actually around the... it looked just like you took it out of the six-pack.
It had not rooted out into the pottery.
It was the same shape as coming out of the six pack. We just couldn't believe it. You have any ideas?
Well, first question would be, how is it being watered?
Yeah, that's number one.
Well, he's a very good gardener, and he amends his soil every year. The only thing I can figure is a couple, two or three years ago, he had an invasion of nut grass, and he sprayed that to get rid of it. And I'm wondering if that could still be down in the soil.
Do you know what he sprayed? Because some products do persist and will poison the soil so that it is not plantable, usually for a year or so.
Right.
What was used?
I really don't know, but just to get rid of the nut grass. But I noticed that there is a weed that looks like a succulent that you can eat. It grows
purslane.
Pardon me, say that again?
Purslane.
Is that what it is?
Yes,
but
ma'am.
But anyway, that was also growing in part of his garden area. He pulled that up, and the roots were just fine. You know, they had spread out just like they're supposed to. But the tomato plants didn't.
Well, the purslane will grow on very little water.
Uh-huh.
So I'm still, you know, the question remains on how were those individual plants being watered, the tomato plants? Were they on a drip or just hand watered?
Probably hand watered, because I know they're not on, I'm pretty sure they're not on a drip.
Well, sometimes too, especially in color packs, because the root systems are so small and compact, if they get really compacted in the cell and the roots are growing in a circle around the inside of the cell, sometimes they won't branch out that much. So usually when you plant them, if you just take the point of a trowel or something and just scrape the side of that little root ball from the cell, it'll break the surface roots, and then when they get into the new soil, they will branch out and move out from there. So you might try that as well.
Well, yes, some plants you do have to kind of, you know,
open them up a little bit, yeah.
So I didn't know whether you did that with tomatoes. I don't remember ever doing that before.
Yeah, you can do that with tomatoes. The other thing you can do with tomatoes is you can plant them a little bit deeper than you normally would. It's about the only plant that I can think of that you can plant an inch or two deeper into the soil.
Oh, right. I do inches. I do yeah. 3-4 inches. Yeah, sometimes.
And because they yeah. will, they will root out from the side of the stalk if you do that.
Okay, well, I'll give him those handy hints and see what happens next
okay.
year.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay,
have a great weekend, Betty.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Take care.
I still think it's a water thing, probably though.
It may be
if they were really stunted like that.
Right.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Bob, stay on the line. We're going to be talking to you when we come back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to head out to Eastlake where Bob is waiting. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, guys.
Oh, thank you. What can we do for you?
I have a garden plot in the community garden down in the Bonita Valley. And this is my second year of growing Silver Queen corn. And every year, I get a few corn borers, and I'm wondering if there's a natural, if possible, way to prevent corn borers, or if not, then what I could use. I don't have them on every year, but, you know, they can do some pretty good damage to the ears, and I'm just wondering what I could do to prevent that.
The corn earworm? Probably the spinosad would.
Spinosad, I would think.
Or dusting the tassels with
mineral oil. And mineral oil is actually, University of California Integrated Pest Management suggests just putting a few dabs of mineral oil on the silk.
Yeah, that's a tried and true one. Yeah. I know that's been around for a long time, but the BT on the silks or
spinosad
on the silk, either one of those should take care. As a matter of fact, I think the last time I grew corn, I used Captain Jack's and just sprayed the silks on them as they started coming out.
That is the spinosad.
And I did not have any corn borers or any corn earworms that season. Although I did lose most of the crop to rats. So
spinosad does not work on rats.
Spinosad does not work on rats. But for the corn earworms, it should take care of it.
Well, it's funny because I've battled rats and squirrels and rabbits over the 3 years I've been down there. And what I finally resorted to last year was actually feeding. And so I fed them peanuts, and now I'm feeding them squirrel mix. And they've left the tomatoes alone. They've left the corn alone. And if you can't beat them, then feed them.
That's exactly. that's one way to do them. Give them something tastier to go after.
Exactly. All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Okay. Have a great weekend, Bob. Thank you for calling.
Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye.
You know, I've been fighting with rats and squirrels and to
for
a lesser
how many
extent
years?
Forever.
Well, we are forever.
But I have a ratinator in the corner of my chicken coop, and I have not caught anything, and I was watching the rats come and go. Well, I have one hen now that a new hen that I just got that wants to roost outside, and I haven't seen the rats every night that were in the running around the that interior portion of the coop, and I'm wondering if they're
perhaps
afraid of the chicken. But there was an animal in the trap last night when I went home. I was pretty excited. And then when I got up close, it was a baby possum.
Oh, nice work.
Well, no, he wasn't dead.
Oh.
He was
the ratinator's a live catch.
He was playing.
Oh, I was thinking it.
The electric
I was
one.
Thinking of the electric one.
No, okay. I wouldn't have told that story on air. My goodness. He was playing possum because I thought he was dead, and I actually thought it was a big rat. When I realized it was just a baby possum who was alive, I opened up the trap and let him
shoot
out.
Yes.
And he was gone this morning when I went back in. Anyway.
I've been using the old snap rat traps, little plastic ones, for the voles in the vegetable garden because a few tomatoes have been getting eaten. And I, without setting any bait on them, I just put them around the tomato on the ground, three or four of them where they've been eating the tomato. I leave it on the vine, and every single day I've caught a vole.
You know, I ought to try listening to your tips because you seem to be successful.
I'm very successful with voles without any bait by just setting those traps around the tomato they've eaten.
So maybe I should try doing something, not the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
But that said, yesterday I set the old perlite water trap in the bucket. For the rats.
Have you gotten any?
I just did it last night. Okay. I don't know yet. I haven't gone in to look.
Well, Melanie was sitting out on the back patio reading the other day, and something scurried across the patio. So she's, you got to do something about it.
Yeah.
So I had some tomcat traps at the house, which I think are outstanding.
They're scary.
Well, they're scary, but they work. I mean, they're easy to set, they're easy to bait, and they're easy to clean. When all is said and done,
to dispose of these.
I got three big rats. I got a big one three days in a row.
I've been using. I was given some free samples to try. Those red ones.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
And I use those too.
Or were you successful? I have not been.
The tubular ones, no.
Yeah.
No, but the open one.
The big red one?
The big red
like
open
the old
one.
Tomcat, yes.
Yeah, that worked pretty well.
Those worked quite well, but
I'll
the tubular
to
ones are
works.
Not working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why on that.
I've experimented with them as well with the samples.
Not too far away from the ratinator, I have a squirrelinator, and two nights ago it moved about 4 feet from where I'd left it. Something had picked it up or just dragged it away. It had moved aside. Still nothing inside of it, but it moved it out of the way, to get to the grain that had gone through to the ground underneath.
Oh, that's interesting. I doubt it was a squirrel that did that.
No.
Oh, I was telling George, when we pulled up into the parking lot this morning, I was getting out of my car, and in the planter that runs along
the front of the building,
Town Center Drive, there was a big coyote walking through the planter. Yeah.
They hang out here.
I think he was stalking me. It's a good thing Ken came.
Good thing I got there when I did.
It protected me.
Yeah. We were sitting outside on Thursday night for driveway happy hour, and even before sunset, you could hear a huge pack of coyotes going off in the distance. So I don't know. I don't know if they caught something or what, but there were a lot of them.
They're much bolder now than they used to be, and they'll be.
Oh, they don't care.
What time? Afternoon, morning.
I think I told you last time we were on the air. There was one at 4:07 in the afternoon because it surprised me. I had looked at my clock to go, why is there a coyote out? I'm just walking right past the garden at 4:07.
Yeah.
Sunny day. Walking around.
When you encounter them in Scripps Ranch, they don't yawn. They don't care.
Right.
They
what you looking at?
Exactly.
Yep.
So
I have not had broken branches off of. I shouldn't even say that.
I have my burgundy plum. Burgundy plum, big broken branch.
From the you think coyotes?
Coyotes, we think.
My branches are all fairly small, so it wouldn't take much for them to snap it off, and it doesn't seem as though they have. And they have not found my emerald drop pluots, so I'm letting them ripen, which
ours are almost ready.
I normally can't do.
Well, good thing you mentioned it, so they'll find
out. Yeah,
they're listening as well.
Exactly. Don't forget, no garden classes today, and both stores are going to be closed on Monday. Have a great 4th of July weekend, and we will see you next week right here on KCBQ and KPRZ with another hour of Garden Talk.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news.
Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.